and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So just before we flick over to 1 Corinthians, that you'll remember that we've been looking at this. The Holy Spirit has brought a group of people to trust in Jesus. And then what we've just read is what happened to those people filled with the Holy Spirit once they trusted Jesus. And we've been seeing that Acts 2:42 is a description of a Holy Spirit-filled church. So far we've seen that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were Bible people. We've seen last week that they were people who share life. But actually our second reading from 1 Corinthians picks up on another aspect, the phrase we're going to look at today about this breaking of bread. So 1 Corinthians, turn over to that, keep a finger in Acts 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. So then, when you come together, it's not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Flick back to Acts chapter 2 and let's pray, shall we, and seek God's help together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that they are words of life. They are words that correct and rebuke and train us in righteousness. We thank you that they're words that show us Jesus. And we ask today, please, that the Holy Spirit would be among us and take this portion of your word and use it to shape us, to become the people you would have us be, to become the local church that you would have us be. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In a home that I went to visit recently, there was a sign by the front door reminding the children what they needed to take to school on a given day. So it reminded them to take their homework and their lunch boxes and their school bags. This was a sign to help them remember, to remember things that they really, really shouldn't leave the house without. Now, apart from taking a note and thinking that was a brilliant idea and maybe we should have one at home, actually, it's a true thing, isn't it? That we need things, we need signs often to help us remember things. Now, in a similar way, the Lord Jesus has given his church a sign to help us remember something hugely important. Like a sign at the front door that says you've got to remember your keys or your phone or your lunchbox. The Lord Jesus, risen, ascended, has given his church a sign. And it's a sign to help us remember his cross and his resurrection. And it's the sign of breaking bread. As Jesus broke bread with his disciples just hours before the cross, he said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." Like a sign by a front door, Jesus says, "Look, here is something that you must not go on without. Here is something that you must not leave without. Here is something you have to remember and keep remembering." Now, over the years of church history, because we sit here today 2,000 years or so after Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," it has taken on many forms and it has taken on many names. And, you know, it's Lord's Supper or Communion or Eucharist or whatever it is. That it's taken on so many forms since Jesus did it. But at its heart, it's a very simple act to help us remember the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And actually, I want to say to you this morning, so important was this act. So important is this sign from Jesus to help us remember that the Holy Spirit turned this very first group of believers into people who devoted themselves, they gave themselves fully, committedly to doing this act of breaking bread. That's what we're seeing in Acts 2:42. Have a look down. So the Holy Spirit brings a group of people to trust in the Lord Jesus. And then he brings them to be people devoted to breaking of bread. Now, if I can put it like this morning, it's going to retrieve the clicker. This is at its heart what it means. Jesus' people, those that he's brought to trust him, but to faith in him, the Holy Spirit has worked in, are cross-remembering people. So just as we've seen so far that Jesus' people will be Bible people, Jesus' people will share life together, so too Jesus' people will be devoted, committed to, unmoved from remembering the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. People of Jesus are Lord's table people, if you want to put it in modern speak. And if you're going to go and hunt down a church, if you're moving to a new area, or you're looking for a church that's healthy, Then how do you spot one? How do you spot an authentic church? They will be devoted to taking the cup and the bread together. Because by it, we remember. We remember Jesus and we remember his cross. Because at its heart, that's what this act is all about. It's about remembering Christ crucified. "This is my body given for you." It's about remembering him risen. And it's about remembering him ascended and returning as judge. That's what this act is. And just as this first church was devoted to remembering the Lord Jesus, remembering his cross, so too should Silver Street Community Church. As we press on into this year ahead, as we become this church family moving forward together, we should be devoted to being cross-remembering people. And now here's the challenge, okay? Because lots of us will know that. That's not new. But here's the challenge. I want to say to you that it's not just doing it formally. Actually, if you look at the text here, it says that they did it in their homes as they shared life together. So some people kind of say, "Oh, the breaking of bread doesn't mean the Lord's table. It just meant they had dinner together." Well, can I tell you that the two were inseparable in that first church? They didn't have kind of meetings and buildings like we did today. They didn't have the chance to do it formally like we do today. They did it as part of their getting together, of sharing of life. And I want to say to us as a church, if we're going to be devoted to remembering the cross, we do it formally. We gather like this and we do it in this kind of way or whatever way that your church background might be used to doing it. But actually, we should also be cross-remembering when you have other Christians around to your home. It's a bit, I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't know if you've ever had people round, other Christians round, and as part of dinner said, "Well, why don't we remember Jesus' death and resurrection together?" Maybe many of us feel scared. Maybe many of us feel that it's kind of this thing that somebody higher up the church has to do. But that's not what the early church thought. It was part of their shared life together, because cross remembering is at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. And so we should be doing it, not just formally, but we should be doing it kind of in our homes when we meet with other Christians, remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus' people are cross-remembering people. And maybe some of us, and you know, here's the first challenge for us today, maybe some of us need to be perhaps a little bit more tied up with the purpose of the Lord's Supper than the means by which it's done. Does that make sense? Because at its heart, it was given to us as a sign from Jesus to help us remember him. Do this in remembrance of me. And maybe sometimes we should be less concerned about, you know, is the bread chopped up, or is it, you know, do we pass it round and do we break it, or, you know, this church does weird little cups and some people have one cup. And maybe we should be less concerned about the method and we should be more concerned about its purpose, which is to help us to remember Jesus Christ crucified and risen. And what I want to do with our time this morning, having established that principle, is to show you four reasons, really, why the Holy Spirit wants us to be cross-remembering people. Why did he turn this first group of believers into people who passionately broke bread together? And here it is. Here's reason number one. Because it keeps us... Can you move on, Ian? It's not doing it today. It keeps us glad about our salvation. Sorry, a bit distracted by the thing not working. It keeps us glad about our salvation. That's why we should break bread. That's why the Holy Spirit moves us together. I'm sure that there are certain memories that you guys have that will produce in you certain emotions. So for me, if I start to think about my nan, I always remember her apple pie. I don't know why. I'm sure I should remember her for more than that. But actually, that's what I remember. She used to cook these amazing apple pies. And then it makes me smile and laugh, because we used to have this hilarious thing that she would bake one for the rest of the family and one for me. And she'd bring it out to me every time, like this whole apple pie. And so as I recall that, as I remember those things, it makes me smile. Sometimes I think of Southwold, where me and my family go on holiday sometimes. And as I remember this, I have happy memories of times when we were away together. Sometimes I remember things I did as a kid and I feel really ashamed, which I wouldn't want to share with you here. But actually, sometimes memories evoke in us emotions, don't they? They produce emotions. I'm sure that's true for you guys. And actually, the breaking of bread should be no different, because it's a remembering. It's a calling to mind. It's a sign that says, remember. Remember something. See, look at verse 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. As this early church broke bread together, they did this act, this sign of remembering. It produced in them gladness. Now, That word gladness actually is a funny word, because it means extreme joy. It's not just, oh, I'm really glad today. It was kind of this bubbling over joy. You see, that stands, doesn't it, in stark contrast to how they felt when Peter preached to them back in chapter 2, verse 37. Have a look there. Peter had been preaching and he said, guys, you've got something badly wrong. Jesus came into this world. He was accredited to you by God. But with the help of wicked men, you nailed him to a cross. You rejected God's way to be saved. And then he says to them, but be assured of this, verse 36. Let all Israel be assured that this Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Messiah. And look what they had. Was there joy at that moment? Look at verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? See, now that's a contrast to joy, isn't it? That is fear. That is this moment, this heart-piercing moment when you've been caught doing something wrong. I'm sure you all have memories of that as well. I certainly do as a kid. That moment where you've done something and your heart just drops into your stomach. There is nothing more serious and more offensive to God than rejecting the gospel of his Son. In the gospel of Jesus, he extends a hand to a world that has rejected him and said, I want nothing to do with you. And he holds out his hand and he says, but I can forgive you. And rejecting Jesus is the most serious of offenses. But as Jesus is proclaimed by Peter, This fear of Jesus that grips them, cut to the heart in verse 37, is replaced by joy, extreme joy. Why? Look at verse 38. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins. There is nothing more joyful when you understand it properly than having your sins forgiven. And as we break bread together, we recall how our sins were forgiven. This is my body. Jesus held up that loaf. This is my body given for you. We remind ourselves that at the cross of our Lord Jesus, he bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might be forgiven, that we might be brought near to God by his wounds. Nick read it at the beginning, by his wounds you have been healed. And when you break that bread, what is it you're remembering? You're remembering Jesus was broken so that you wouldn't be. You're remembering that the very means by which he bore God's anger at our sin so that we could be forgiven. And by faith in Jesus, our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers our sins no more. And sometimes, I don't know what you do when we take communion together, but maybe sometimes some of you don't really know what to think. But can I tell you what you should be thinking? This is my body given for you. There should be joy and gladness because we are forgiven. Because Jesus gave his body in our place. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Look again at verse 46. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. As we take this, it produces gladness, but it also produces sincere hearts. Now, that's a word I had to do some research here because I was thinking, well, what's a sincere heart? But actually, it carries the idea of humility. And actually, it's very hard, isn't it, to take bread, to break bread. Remember Jesus broken for you and not in some way to feel humbled. Humbled that our own sinfulness led Jesus to the cross. Humbled that our ongoing battle with sin reminds us daily that we need a saviour. Humbled that although I wasn't part of this story that it tells where I physically nailed Jesus to a cross, but I've led a life of saying to Jesus, I don't want you. I don't want to take your instructions. And I'm humbled as we break bread because I'm reminded that this is all of grace. Why do you sit here forgiven this morning if you are? It's not because of your efforts. It's because of Jesus, whose body was broken for you. It's grace. It's all grace. And so as we break bread together, it fills us with joy at our salvation. It humbles us before God. Sincere hearts, humble hearts that say we bring nothing to the table, nothing to him I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The breaking of bread produces joy, it produces humility, but it opens our mouths to praise God. Look again just at the first phrase of verse 47. As we take bread together, why do we do it? Why does the Holy Spirit want us to do it? Because it opens our mouths in praise to God. Can you really break bread and remember Jesus and not have some utterance on your lips of thanks to God? Can we really do this act without some gratitude in our heart to say, God, how good you are. How good you are to love someone like me, to forgive me of my sins, to remove from me my condemnation. Our mouths should be open to praise God. And if anything is going to chuck a log on the fire to fuel your praise, it will be remembering Jesus Christ, crucified, risen. And I want to say to you, as we read 1 Corinthians this morning, that it describes communion as an act of proclaiming the Lord's death. So as we break bread, and we do this remembering together, or you do it in your home, can I tell you that you're actually speaking a message to each other? We're speaking a message to each other. And that message is, you're forgiven. Be joyful. Be glad. Your sins are forgiven. And if you've come to church this morning and you sit here and you think, well, I'm not sure I know that joy. I'm not sure I know the joy of my sins forgiven. Then can I say to you this morning very personally, please don't miss the message that this proclaims to you. That as you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I am sorry for turning against you. I repent. Then you too can receive the forgiveness of your sins. Joy, extreme joy of having been forgiven for the most serious offence in the universe, which is turning your back on God. Reason number two. Why does the Holy Spirit want us to do communion? Because it keeps us on the right path. Imagine for a moment that your house was on fire. I hope it doesn't happen. But you're running out of the house and you've got a moment just to grab one thing that's most important to you. What would it be? I don't know, for you. Might be your Beatles album, or whatever it might be. It might be, you know, what would it be? What would you grab? I don't know. There's something, isn't there? We think, this is the thing I want to run out with. Now have her imagine for a moment. If the church was running out of a building, and we had to grab one thing, the most important thing, one teaching, one thing that we could preserve and say, this has got to be clung on to more than anything else. What should it be? It's the teaching about the cross of our Lord Jesus. Actually, in everything that Christianity has become over the years, and please hear this, because lots of us represent many different church backgrounds, many different styles. In everything that Christianity has become over the centuries, the various traditions, the denominations, the divides of East and West, divisions over practice, it is still this simple sign that reminds us what's at the heart of really being a follower of Jesus. The cross of Jesus is how we get back into relationship with God who made us. And sure, there are different ways of doing it, and sure, the church has taken hold of it in certain places and completely messed it up. But actually, the simple sign of a bread, this is my body and blood, this is the blood he shed for us in that sense. This simple sign helps us to hold on to something that is most important to the church, that is most important for anyone being a follower of Jesus, Christ crucified and risen. And to preserve this great truth, because that is the heart, to preserve it, Jesus left us with a sign so that we wouldn't mess it up. do you understand that? It's a very loving thing to do, isn't it? Jesus left us with something that says, come on, please don't mess this up. Okay, because this is it. This is what it is about at its heart. And actually, this simple sign is a gift to Jesus to make sure we stay on the right path. It's a sign that we stay on the right path, first of all, with our message. Actually, we remember the cross, don't we, more than just when we break bread. You know, please, Lord Jesus, would the cross always be proclaimed from this pulpit? Please, Lord Jesus, would it be central to our daily lives? The cross is so fundamental, but how are we reminded of it? As we break bread together. Actually, it's a truth that keeps our message on track. But you know what? This truth, this cross and resurrection truth is something that keeps you on track personally. You know, imagine you're in such a pit because life is just horrible. And you've got to this point where you are doubting God's care for you. What brings you back on track? It's the cross and resurrection of Jesus, isn't it? You know, how do you know God loves you? Because of the cross and resurrection. If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously, along with him, give us all things? Breaking bread when you're in the middle of a pit is a great way to say, I know God loves me. Perhaps you're stuck in the middle of a battle with sin and Satan is just nibbling at your ear and he's just saying, see, you're not a believer. You're not a Christian. You're not forgiven. What do you do? How do you stay on track? You break bread. Say, this is my body. I'm forgiven. I really am forgiven. And I know I live in a messy body that's waiting to be renewed. And I know I battle with sin. But I'm forgiven because Jesus died in my place. Every sin on him was laid. That's how you stay on track. And so the Holy Spirit, he turns us into Lord's table people, communion people, cross-remembering people, because it keeps us on the right path. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward look and I see him there who made an end to all my sin. Remember me. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Do this in remembrance of me. It keeps us on the right path. Breaking bread is a visible sign of the gospel that we believe. You still with me? So it keeps us glad about our salvation. It keeps us on the right path. Thirdly, it keeps us united. The other day, I can't even remember why, but Emma was out and I had to do tea for the kids or dinner for the kids. And poor kids. They are still alive. It's okay. I can report that officially. But I made the fatal mistake of asking the question, "Hey guys, what do you fancy for dinner tonight?" And oh man, there was like unity meltdown in the Howard house. It was like, because every one of the kids had a different opinion about what we should have for dinner. And because they all like, "Well, I like this and I don't like that and you shouldn't cook that because it doesn't," you know. And we had this like unity meltdown over what we were going to have for dinner. But actually, when everyone has a different opinion and a different taste, unity breaks down, doesn't it? And the danger is that churches can be like that. Churches can be places where there's unity meltdown. Why? Because we want to pick our preferences. I want to do music my way, the way I like. You know, old songs, new songs, dancing songs, non-dancing songs. We all have tastes. We all have styles. We all have cultural backgrounds. We all have times that we meet. You know, you meet far too early at 10:30 in the morning. What are you doing? That's like, that's still bedtime. You know, some people are like, but that's like lunchtime. And you know, if we pick those things, if those were the things that we sort of had to unite around, we would have unity meltdown. We could not stay together because we're as diverse as the people in this room. It's a recipe, isn't it, for disaster. If church is about me and my preferences and my tastes. So what is it that's going to keep a group of people like Silver Street Community Church together? What do we unite around to say, "Oh, look, this is our common ground"? We unite around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keeping the cross central, at the heart of church life, at the heart of our preaching, is what will keep a group of us together. As we remember, as we break bread and we remember Jesus together, we remember, don't we, that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one loaf in which we share. That loaf is Jesus. And actually, that's regardless, isn't it, of our tastes and our preferences. And those things aren't wrong things, and in the end, we're always open to talking about those things. But what will keep us united as we press forward into 2017? It will be fixing our attention collectively on Jesus and his cross and his resurrection. We're not together because we share a musical style. We're not together because we pray the same way, in the same style. We're together because we've been saved by Jesus. We share salvation and we share a Saviour. And that's why we're together. Across nations, across upbringings, you know, we are together because of Jesus. And we take this regularly. We do this regularly. We devote ourselves to it. Why? Because it keeps us united. And it doesn't just remind us why we're united, but it helps us to behave in a way that keeps us united. You see, this meal doesn't just remind us that Jesus is our shared Saviour, but actually it says to us, this is how you should treat one another. As we break bread together, we don't just recall Jesus' body given for me, but we recall his words that says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And how has he loved us? He gave himself for us. And that's why Corinthians, the passage we read together, did you pick up on it? The church is just having a go at each other. They come together to take the Lord's Supper, and one person's getting drunk. You know, one person brings in their big hamper, you know, basket with all their kind of posh food in, and there's some poor person in the corner with nothing, and they're getting drunk over here, and they're just walking all over each other, which actually goes against the very thing that Jesus did for us, doesn't it? So they're taking the meal that should remind them how to treat one another, and they're just walking all over each other, ignoring what it's all about. That's what was happening in Corinth. But as we take this, it says, hey, we should love one another as Jesus has loved us. And so in a moment, when we take the Lord's Supper, it's right to say, you know, how am I treating other people in the church? You know, do I hold a grudge against someone? Have I been mean to someone? If it is, you may need to put that right. Because that's what this is reminding us about. It keeps us united. United by what we believe, but also united in the way that we behave towards one another. Good. You ready for one more? Last one. It's much quicker. It keeps us looking forward. Nick and I have a big year planner upstairs, which helps us to kind of plan the year. But we haven't put much on it, have we, really? But you know, that's probably not reflective of our planning. We do plan. But we've got this big year planner. And one of the great things about it is that it actually helps you to see the big picture. It helps you to kind of see what's going on this year, what's coming up for Silver Street Community this year. And as you stand back and you look at this thing, it helps you to see all that's coming up. And actually, I want to say to you that in a similar way, the Lord's Supper, as we break bread together, it helps us to see what's coming up. It helps us to see that the best is yet to come. That's the really cool thing about the Lord's Supper. Paul writes in Corinthians that we do this, we proclaim his death until he comes. In this simple sign of remembering Jesus crucified and risen, we remind ourselves that there's resurrection coming. Just as Jesus was raised to life on the third day, we remember that so too all who trust in him will be raised to eternal life. It's assurance. You know, when we take this meal, it's not just a kind of a there, you know, look back, it's all going to be okay. Actually, it's hey, there's something better coming. Press on together. Keep going. Keep looking forward. There's a story later in the book of Acts about this man named Eutychus. Some of you will know him. So Paul was preaching a long one. He was on an all-nighter. He was, which I bet you're feeling it right now. But hey, he was on an all-nighter, and Eutychus was sitting in the window of a third story. And Paul was preaching, and Eutychus nodded off and fell out the window and died. Now that's a really bad sermon. You know, that would be terrible. But Paul runs downstairs in the power of Jesus. He brings him back to life, and then they all run upstairs, and Paul cracks on with preaching. But before he does, what did they do? It says they broke bread together. Now, I was puzzling over this, thinking, well, why did they do that? Was he just kind of waking everyone up? You know, let's take some food so I can keep preaching. No, I think he was reminding himself of resurrection. Because what's just happened? He's just raised this man back to life, and they broke bread. Why? Because he says, that is the hope for everyone, and let's just remember it. That as Jesus, as we put our faith in Jesus, one day he will return and he will raise all who've trusted in him to eternal life. It's a good thing, isn't it? So here we go. Four reasons. Four reasons that we should be devoted to remembering the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Four reasons we should break bread regularly together. No authentic Christian will need to be persuaded to come and take communion. I think that's the simple thing. Actually, if a genuine believer, you can't keep them away from breaking bread. Because it's at the heart of what we are. You can't keep them away because as we do it, it keeps us glad. It makes us glad that our sins are forgiven. As we do it, it keeps us on the right path. It keeps us remembering God loves us. And it keeps us remembering what should be at the heart of our message. We do it because it keeps us united. And we do it because it keeps us looking forward to Jesus' return. And my prayer for this church family, Gareth, Patrick, myself, as we lead this church, our prayer is that this is what we become. That the Holy Spirit shapes us into people who are cross-remembering people as we press forward into 2017. Let's have our moments quiet. We're going to then sing a song. Then we're going to come and take the Lord's Supper together. We're going to break bread together, which will be really cool. So let's bow our heads and pray, and maybe the band can come up while we're doing that, and then we'll sing. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to rejoice afresh today in this gift from the Lord Jesus of breaking bread together. Father, I thank you for the many occasions personally where I have perhaps doubted you, but have been brought back to trust you by simply taking the bread and the cup together. Father, I thank you for the times where it has rebuked me over my behaviour towards someone else. I thank you for the times it has just brought about a sheer joy because we remember that our sins are forgiven. And Father, as we do this act, and even in a few moments, would you multiply to us the benefits of this simple reminder, this sign that the Lord Jesus has given us. Father, would we be cross-remembering people, not just when we have bread in our hands, but as we walk the streets, as we proclaim Jesus to others, as we lead our families. Father, we want the cross of our Lord Jesus to be at the centre of what we do. Father, help us please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing about the cross. Oh, to see the dawn.